Zelengo. This is Kinetic and Taco. What you are about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Monday, October 22nd, 2001 at 11:25 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part 11, Pigs Part 1. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kintako. Have a pleasant flight.
Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows
his lies, can't help him. True star weapon will collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in soul. See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lesson, the mind on thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. We were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth, we'll turn that around with the human rights patrol. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth.
The People's Choice Human Rights Radio. Giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,507th night of broadcasting. We's up on the World Wide Web at www.pirateradioatabout.com. Right when that box comes up that says find it now, you type in the name Kentaco and you got Human Rights Radio on the World Wide Web. www.pirateradioatabout.com. For this program coming up out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, we call the Human Rights Patrol to welcome all those other folks who are bringing this program across the planet Earth now. Let's call our war correspondent, Commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, Dada Kanadi Kentaco, and Zilango to you over there, warrior.
Zilango.
You are here to hip the folks to the different places where they can find this program, the Human Rights Patrol, off of www.pirateradioatabout.com. And you want to shout out to some folks? Go ahead and take care of that business, if you will, please.
First, let's say Zilango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM, Wakaka Inku Uhuru, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, run by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. Also at 104.1 FM, Slave Revolt Radio in the Criminal Enterprise called San Francisco, California, with Tracy Yames in the posse. And at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Glad to have you with us.
That's right, the Human Rights Radio Air Force is growing all across the country. Folks is getting hip to human rights, man. And even if they've never heard of it before, they kind of like, that makes sense. Dada Kanadi, we'll talk to you later on when you shout out to those stations again that's got the nerve to carry the Human Rights Patrol. And we'll talk to you in a few.
Zilango
to you. That sister be bringing y'all the introduction. I thought you might want to hear her a little bit more beside that. She'll be in future editions of the Human Rights Patrol. In this particular edition, we're going to talk about the pigs, the 5-0, the patty rollers, the ones that's got you scared to act like you got good sense. You know what I'm saying? Right now in the fall of 2001, G.W. Littlebush, y'all president, got all y'all tripping on this thing he pulled off in New York on September the 11th. They running on some moves that they wanted to run down anyway to further control movement, communications, and all that stuff as they further get all the wealth into the smaller hand, you know, smaller groups' hands in this country, right? Top 1% got more wealth than the bottom 99% now. Well, you know, they got to figure folks going to snap about that. Well, long since when they came and set up this little crooked thing called the United States, they knew folks like our people wouldn't tolerate them dragging us over here to be slaves, and they knew Native people wouldn't like them, you know, taking their land from them. And so to get things the way they want them, they brung the patty rollers, the 5-0. That's right. You got to get this book by this white boy by the name of Philip Bergman. He called Peter Bergman. It's called The Chronological History of the Negro in America. And it talks about the fact where the 5-0 came from, the pigs came from. And I know that's why a lot of folks is out now criticizing Huey P. Newton and the Black Panther Party for self-defense, because a lot of you Negroes like to, you know, party and parlay with the 5-0. You know what I'm saying, with the pigs. And you can't do that if the people respect Huey P. Newton and the Panthers. So you've been about the business of bringing down Brother Huey P. Newton. And I say this, whether you like them or not, you've got to thank them, because you've heard folks even in the 2000s talking about, man, we're going to have to lock and load on these pigs. But Huey P. Newton and them showed us we got a better way to deal with that. Right? And we got to thank them for having the nerve to show us that. If you don't like nothing else, they did. And I read the book by Bobby Seale, Seize the Times. And I got to tell you, that if any one piece of information that I got in my life moved us toward Human Rights Radio, that was it in the 1980s when we read Seize the Times and the pride that it put in us. Because I figured black people were just like scared, man. And when I heard how them brothers and sisters wasn't scared of nothing, man, I was like, hey, I want to be with that crew, right? And so we understand, we comprehend, you know, why you all scared of the 5-0 because they beat you down. People say to me, how you know you ain't going to need them? Well, see, when you with Human Rights, you don't need nothing but the Creator. And if you take care of your business, you ain't got to worry about stuff like that. Patty rollers, stanking dogs. Well, anyhow, we don't want to get into name calling because that's what they like to do, because then you don't get to the point where you can really talk about what you came to talk about. So we're going to go to the House of 1,000 tapes here at Human Rights Radio. We've collected over the years thousands of tapes, 4,000 tapes or more, in fact. And we'll transfer them all over to CD. But we're going to use that for tonight to talk about the patty rollers, how they come in existence. We told you about Bergman's book, The Chronological History of America. Good white sources is what we use at Human Rights Radio because y'all do not believe black people. So we're going to start off with a piece of tape we got from the Arts and Entertainment Channel. You know you don't believe black people. And if you did believe black people, they'd have to have white people approve what they say for you to believe them. So let's start off with this piece of tape that gives us a brief history of the 5-0. First, they're going to start talking about 100 years ago in this country, the turn of the century, going into the 20th century. They was like basically looked at as corrupt and stupid. And they're still right. You know, ain't going to argue with it.
19th century American policing was a failure in every single respect. I'm not sure it controlled crime. It was terribly corrupt. It was terribly inefficient. There was wide-scale brutality. American police were almost totally dominated by politics. So typically, a city council member or a ward politician got to pick the police officers.
For political machines like New York's Tammany Hall, the police were a source of revenue.
One of the really fascinating parts about Tammany Hall, one of the investigations in New York City, they produced the price list of what it cost to get a job in the New York City Police Department. So you had to pay so much up front to be appointed. You paid so much to be promoted to sergeant. You paid so much to be promoted to lieutenant, and so on.
The reputation for corruption didn't do much for the popular image of the police at the turn of the century. Dogberry and the officers of the watch became Charlie Chaplin and the Keystone Cops.
Well, the Keystone Cops are very interesting and they're funny even today. What I think it reflected was the low status of the police officer in American society around the turn of the century. People were buffoons.
If the image of Northern police had its comedic aspect, the picture in the South was one of deep tragedy.
During the same period when in Northern cities, the principal object of police was to protect property and to hold on the Irish and riot and to enforce the liquor laws, the overwhelming emphasis in Southern policing was to uphold the slave system.
Charleston, South Carolina was a port of call on the Middle Voyage, the convoy of ships that brought millions of slaves to the New World. As soon as those who survived were unloaded, slave owners needed a means to control them. You could say that Southern policing was born on those docks. But the Charleston of the 1990s is an example of a quiet revolution in policing. Historic change is taking place here and in police forces across America. To appreciate just how far a place like Charleston has come, we need to look at where it started.
This building is the old jail here in Charleston. It dates from the antebellum period or the pre-Civil War period. And it was used to house black sailors during that period because of the 1822 Negro Seamen's Act. It mandated that all black sailors had to stay in this jail while they were in the Charleston Harbor. Their fear was that these black sailors would bring these bad ideas of insurrection and freedom to the black population here in Charleston.
Professor Marvin Delaney wrote the book on Southern policing.
The origins of Southern policing comes directly from slavery. That is, in order to, again, police the slave population and keep them under constant watch, they developed a system of patrol called the paddy rollers. The paddy rollers were more or less a rural police force, and that system evolved to be very sophisticated, paramilitary in structure, and in fact had almost ultimate power over the lives of slaves.
They had patrols who would circulate through the countryside, especially at times when they were afraid of slave revolution or insurrection, which periodically terrified white Southerners.
Now, the fact of the matter is, you know, if you look throughout the Constitution, they don't write the word black in there. And they had some white slaves, but see, with white folks, you can tell white folks one thing and do another thing, and they don't trip. If you tell black folks they free, they better be free. White folks, they can tell them they free and treat them like slaves. Look at today. Look how G.W. Little Bush got them all punking out about terrorism. When, you know, hey, when you look at what they did to Mumia Abu-Jamal, okay? Now, there's a brother, been on death row for 20-some-odd years because they said he killed a pig, right? And then, in the summer of 2001, some boy from the mob come forth and say, I killed the pig. The pigs put me up to killing this pig because this is one of those pigs that try to be a good pig. And the rest of the pigs don't play that. He even gave them the dates and stuff, all the factual information. And you know what the court said? Well, we've already sentenced this nigger to die, so we're not going to undo that. That's some hell, man. That's why we in the human rights, man. If human rights don't work, all of us is struck. Now, on white folks is really weird because I guess from their drama back in Europe with feudalism and that, they don't too much argue with the king about nothing. You dig what I'm saying? And so during the time the paddy rollers were stalking us, what was the police with white folks like back then? Now, comprehend this. The colonies, what they call the colonies, basically, they wasn't nothing but extensions of feudalism, right? They did not produce all the raw materials that were produced here. Nothing was made into a finished product, okay? Whatever they got out the earth in this land, they had to send back to the fatherland, England, and then they would make it into a finished product, and they sold it here. And everything, man, if you had some socks in your house, the king taxed your socks every year. If you had shoes, he taxed your shoes. He taxed your children, the king taxed. And he had his posse go to these white people's houses and looking for stuff to tax. Isn't that heavy? So, like, if you was a 5-0 back in the day, you could get a permanent warrant on white people. That means anytime you felt like it, what you got in that house, you walk right in, start taking their stuff, man. I'm telling you. You think I'm tripping? This program comes from the Petroleum Broadcasting System, or some people simply call it PBS. And they call it search and seizure, police powers. And this came out like in the 80s or 90s, man. But, you know, we don't be messing around at Human Rights Radio. We be bringing the news.
We need first to go back to the time when in every colony, the king's agents had what was known as a general warrant.
Where would they get a general warrant?
If an officer of the crown wanted a warrant, he need merely appear before a magistrate and say that he wanted a warrant, and in effect, one would be issued to him. He didn't have to designate the things to be sought for. He just had a sort of a hunch, a gut feeling, an instinct that a search ought to be conducted in a certain area, maybe along a street or a certain part of the town.
When the king's agents came pounding on the door, what did they want? What were they looking for? And what was a search like back then?
Above all, what they're looking for is uncustomed goods. That is to say, goods which they claim taxes had not been paid upon. They were used to seek able-bodied seamen for His Majesty's Navy. They'd break into homes and kidnap people to force them to become soldiers or sailors. But there's no end to the use of these general warrants.
The British mostly used general warrants along the wharf to make sure that tariffs on foreign-made goods had been paid. And since almost everything store-bought was made outside the colonies, these duties were significant. In New Hampshire and Massachusetts, where most of the imports came, the customs officers also had a search warrant which did not need the approval of a magistrate.
It was called a writ of assistance.
A writ of assistance is a form of a general warrant. It is a form, however, which authorizes a customs officer to command the assistance of a local peace officer, a constable, a sheriff, and indeed any passersby to aid him in conducting the search that he has in mind.
So he could say, come on over here, I need some help in going
right
through this warehouse.
But there's something else that makes it different from a general warrant. It would last for the lifetime of the king. So for as long as the king is alive, if you get a warrant once, you have this 10, 20, 30 years.
This perpetual search warrant gave the bearer free rein to conduct a search anytime, any place, no reason necessary. Armed with a writ of assistance, customs agents could tear through homes, open ships, and inspect warehouses looking for uncustomed goods. So the colonists then were really used to having their doors pushed in, weren't they?
Yeah, and then this fool gonna say, well, they didn't like it. Why could they didn't like it? You go find me a time in Europe where the king's boys wasn't posting them up any time the king felt like it. Any time. There was never a question on, because go back and look up feudalism, okay? Look up serfdom, man. They had them beat down something awful in Europe, you see? So really the thrust of the anti-police abuse in this country has really come from African people. Because African people are only the ones that know a time when the rollers wasn't rolling on us. That was before we came here. See, when they put Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3 in the Constitution, they had to bring the paddy rollers. Because, you know, that talks about holding people in servitude. If you're holding people, that means they probably don't agree, right? No, we didn't agree. And since we didn't agree, they had to hold us. So, you know, the Constitution off top, as Elder Robert Brock teaches us, is a martial law document, you know? Off top. They don't even mess around like that. Now here, we got this from the CNN, the Caucus News Network. It's called Bernard Shaw did it, man. Right after he got out of Baghdad back in the day.
CNN Presents, a weekly news magazine, continues now with To Protect and Serve. Once again, here's Bernard Shaw.
The Mark Furman tapes tell a chilling tale of police corruption. Accounts of planting evidence, of harassing and beating suspects because of their race. Are the tapes the stuff of fiction or a reflection of reality? Criminal justice experts say most police departments don't even keep tabs on corruption statistics because they're too embarrassing.
Now that's the key point that we're playing on that particular piece. The pigs don't even keep statistics on corruption because it's too embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you can embarrass a pig, that is some embarrassment right there, right? They don't keep... In fact, if you go to your local library, you will find so much research on police brutality, it's got its own section in the library. We started back in 95 here at Human Rights Radio, a series we call Pigs. And we said we were not going to put nothing in there twice. And we got like 20-some-odd installments in some 90-minute shows. And the only reason we don't have more is because we ain't tried. You know what I'm saying? Trying to do other stuff because... The pigs aren't the total problem. The problem is your fear of them, okay? They ain't nothing but some robots, some guard dogs. They ain't got no sense. I'm trying to find a piece of tape where I'm going to show you probably the next time we do a thing on the pigs. But they had a case out in Connecticut, man. One pig sued because they said he couldn't be no pig because he was too smart. And the court said, well, they can do that. Well, you know.
We begin with a story that has never been brought to light before. It involves an outrageous violation of trust that puts your safety at risk. Acting on a series of tips, 2020 undertook an exhaustive investigation into the activities of some uniformed law officers. And what we found was not only shocking, it serves as an urgent warning for women everywhere.
Yes, it does, because who is it you often turn to when you're the most vulnerable, when you're in danger or in need? Well, the very men you're taught to trust, men sworn to protect you, may be your worst enemy. The officer who pulls you over is most often doing his job, but some officers may have sinister motives. As Tom Gerald discovered, too many trusting women end up betrayed by the badge.
These are the fingerprints of a convicted felon.
Can we need a unit down here?
A rapist. A murderer.
Possible man with a gun.
These are the faces of men who have raped with impunity, murdered with abandon, who have shrewdly covered their tracks. They are men who, because of the unique position they hold, have a virtual license to prey on unsuspecting women. It is this kind of man who rarely gets caught.
If you have any information, call detectives.
At about 11 o'clock, she was passing through Indian River County.
The car was simply pulled off to the side of the road, neatly.
And her ID and her clothing was all found some distance away.
This particular 8BC program points out the fact no pig is ever tested for psychological stability in this country. But that's a hell of a thing to get somebody, to let somebody loose with a damn badge and a gun. Because they're here to terrorize you people. You got to understand that. That's how they hold folks in check. You know what I'm saying? They talking about Osama bin Laden, a terrorist. You know what I'm saying? You know, when they told the black community that Mumia Abu-Jamal can't get out because he's already been convicted. Well, ain't that called terrorism? Here's a cat ready to swear out an affidavit that he actually killed the pig that they talking about killing this brother for, but they ain't going to take him off of death row because they said, we already done that move. That's called terrorism. That's cool. No problem. We only read in the mail. We're going to check these fools in a minute once we all compare notes and see they treat us all the same no matter where we at. I got to share this story with y'all because I know y'all on the West Coast, y'all heard the story when they shot the sister out there like 19 times and the folks up in the Criminal Enterprise New York heard when they shot the brother 41 times. Kanadi, Zalango to you again over there.
Zalango.
You got an article. You got to share that, the vitals on that article with the people. She's grabbing it, knocking stuff down left and right. That's all right. Oh, Dia's got the articles. Got away from us. Somebody took the article and ran out the room with it.
Okay.
All right. She's got the article. Very good.
Is two ex-officers plead guilty, help prosecutors from the Miami Herald by David Kidwell and Joseph Timfani, September 8, 2001. And you can go to conspiracy cover-up suspected in Miami police shootings by David Kidwell and Joseph Timfani, September 2, 2001.
In these articles, they shot a grandfather, a black grandfather, how many times?
123 times.
120. Now, that's terrorism. They put it all over the world. Yeah, we shot one man, one old man. 100, how many times?
123.
That's called terrorism. All right. Again, shout out to those who listen to the Human Rights Patrol. Kanadi's got the list of those stations with the nerve.
We want to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM, with Kaka Inka Uhuru and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, brung by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, and the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. Also at 104.1 FM, Slave Revolt Radio in the Criminal Enterprise called San Francisco, California, with Tracy Yames in the posse. And at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Glad to have you with us.
Again, we're live here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield. 106.5 FM is where you find Human Rights Radio, the program made available to all the member stations that play it over www.pirateradioatabout.com. When the box, well, this might be on the main menu by now, Human Rights Information Network. If it ain't on the main menu, Human Rights Information Network, when that box comes up that says find it now, type in Kantako, K-A-N-T-A-K-O, and you got the flavor for Human Rights Radio on the World Wide Web. Again, Kanadi, we want to thank you for being with us in our 4,507th night of broadcasting here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, reminding you that you're listening to the people's choice because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Information Network.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders. We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline.
We'll have discipline.
Patience.
Patience.
Devotion.
Devotion.
Encourage.
Encourage.
We will live as models.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determined.
We will be free and self-determined.
We are African people.
We are African people.
Aluta.
Aluta.